Hello and welcome to Under the Scales. Before we begin, I again need to thank everyone who has submitted a story by clicking the Tell Your Story link on our website, underthescales.com. Last month, I told you we were overwhelmed by the number of amazing stories and great ideas from you all. I have some good news to report. We got some help and are responding to quite a few of you. Also, thanks for the emails. We're working on those too. Your stories and submissions have been fantastic. Keep them coming. And everyone should look forward to some very entertaining fan interviews coming up.
Interpretation. Reflection. Misdirection. That's my job. It really is my job. I write words for fish. I'm Tom Marshall, and this is Under the Scales.
Today I'm speaking with Paul Glace. Paul is the founder of FantasyTour.com, spelled with a P-H. Fantasy Tour is one of the top fish fan destinations online, and the story of its origin and its success are remarkable. We're going to plunge in right now. I've just asked Paul a question about his very first fish show.
My first year in college at Penn State, and lo and behold, this band that I'd just been introduced to and starting to get into was coming.
What year was that?
They were coming in the spring of 94. So I would have been likely getting my tickets in the fall, if I recall correctly. I met my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, at Penn State. The two of us camped out for tickets on campus, got our tickets to our first show, went in April, and saw a great show featuring a cameo by Mimi Fishman.
Oh, wow.
And we were hooked.
What's the most recent show? Have you gone to the last tour? Did you go to Vegas?
I did not make it to Vegas. My last show was in Riviera Maya. Our go-to summer shows are at Merriweather, and Merriweather got skipped over this year, so we couldn't make anything else happen.
I see. Do you have kids and all that stuff?
I do have kids. I have two kids.
Okay. Wow. So I should say, Paul lives in Maryland, and I live in New Jersey, and we're meeting halfway between. We're in Delaware right now. Let's talk a little bit about how Fantasy Tour came to be and how it progressed to where it is now.
Sure. I trace it through a couple of key events that happened in my early fish going career. I after graduating from Penn State, landed in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and became acquainted with Benji Eisen, famous for Benji's Digest, where he would curate content from the old newsgroup Rec Music Fish.
Oh, okay, right.
But through that acquaintance, I was at a show during the Island Tour.
Yes.
In 98.
Great tour.
There was, it was the first of the two shows at Providence. Attending a fishnet gathering at a bar across the street from the venue, and Benji was there, and I remember there was a notepad being handed around, and make your picks, what do you think they're gonna play tonight? And I participated, and I remember thinking, you know, I think shortly thereafter I wasn't exactly sure how to find out who won.
Right.
I don't really remember if I ever did.
Was there money exchanging?
No. And so fast forward to that fall, the Halloween show in Las Vegas, I got to meet an individual who's become a good friend named Kevin Goldblum, fanatic about setlist prediction games and had a million ideas. And when I told him that I was contemplating taking the idea online so that more people could play and compete, you could see live results and whatnot, he just was so enthusiastic about it, encouraged me to go for it. And it took a little while after that to finally get the skills and the time to do it. But by the following fall, I introduced the first version of Fantasy Fish, which was a very rudimentary website. Basically, it was a web form that when you click this, after you filled in all your information, when you click the submit button, it just fired off an email to me. And I compiled the results out of my email inbox into an Access database, and I crunched the numbers there and then produced a spread, a standings result after each show and posted a static page up to the website.
I see.
After each show.
So just to clarify for me a little bit, so like fantasy football or fantasy baseball, you're keeping stats on people's picks. Now, are these picks primarily set openers or tour openers or choose a number of songs that might be played in the entire tour?
It mimics fantasy sports in so much as you're picking songs and you're placing them into categories, which I would draw the parallel to sports as being putting people in positions.
Right.
And so you're taking Runaway Jim and you're placing it in the set one opener position.
I see.
And if Runaway Jim is played in any show during the tour, you make these picks for the whole tour.
Okay.
You're stuck with them for the whole
tour. And what's the position? So
you got set one opener, set one wild card,
okay,
set one closer, all the set two spots, and then you've got some more interesting ones like cover song, encore. The one-timer will score you 15 points if it's played once. If it's played a second time, those 15 points are taken away from you.
I see. So which song is the tight end of... I saw that question asked, and now I understand it. Now I get it.
I guess if we're talking positions, you might be talking about the encore.
Well, tight end would be like, to me, is like, you know, is a player who can, he can block, he can,
oh, hello, hello.
You could pass to him and he could run too. So maybe it would be like a chalk desk torture or something.
Perhaps. Good point. Yes. The player that can play multiple positions. And the scores are tallied after each show. And then, the cumulative scores across all the shows determines the winner at the end of the tour. That's the classic fantasy tour game that started in fall 99. Nothing about that game has changed in terms of the scoring and the way it's played.
Would you be able to say, when it started, were people actively playing the game and not doing the forum so much?
Well,
and then that switched, or what happened there?
Well, actually, there was no forums.
Oh.
So
it was just the game.
Just the game for fall 99, and then for the December 99 tour, which is the one that started in Michigan and ended in Big Cypress. And it wasn't until, actually, March of 2001 that the Fish message board was introduced. I often take exception to people referring to Fantasy Tour as a board, because that's not the
intention.
The intention of the site. It's not the cornerstone of it.
Right.
Now, it's certainly an important part of it now, and I wouldn't want it any other way. But it's more than a board.
Right.
And it all stems back to that set list prediction.
And Fish is certainly the target band.
Well, Fish was the inspiration,
right?
And Fish is, always going to be the first band that, I absolutely immersed myself in and wanted to learn everything about. I'm definitely put myself in the category of a set list geek who is chasing that song I haven't heard before or haven't heard in X number of shows. And I think a lot of that drives, what Fantasy Tour is all about.
Right.
And that's really the heart and soul of it.
Okay. So now the heart and soul is the game for you.
Yes.
Now, for me, I honestly, I've never played the game.
Fair enough.
And you must know a lot of people like this, right?
Yeah.
That go on there for the forum only, just for the discussion board.
Correct.
And do you have an idea of the average user and where he or she would spend their time? Or?
Well, the lion's share of our traffic is definitely coming from the message boards and largely from the Phish message board. The activity level there is just so quick that it's just a great place to watch, if nothing else. There's always something compelling going on that front page.
Right.
In terms of what people use it for, I think on a day-to-day basis, those that come often are coming to read the message boards for sure. I think there's a large contingent of those folks, though, that when tours roll around, even if they're not playing the games, they're tracking their shows on Fantasy Tour. They're keeping track of the shows they attended so that they can look at their history and run stats.
Right.
How many times have I heard Harry Hood?
Right.
What song am I chasing, as I mentioned earlier?
Right.
So it doesn't generate the kind of traffic that the message boards do, but I think it's a really important part of what makes Fantasy Tour Fantasy Tour. There's plenty of people that when they're talking with someone on the message boards, they will click on their username and look at their profile, get a sense of, is this a newbie?
Yeah, who I'm talking to here.
Is this, you know, a jaded vet?
Funny thing is, even though I've, you know, I've participated in different ways with Fantasy Tour, and often I don't want people to know necessarily that it's Tom Marshall. You know, I just want to be able to say something offhand and not have someone know. So I never have filled in my stats. So I think I'm a perpetual noob.
There you go. I'll tell you, regarding anonymity, it's definitely, I think, both a great factor in Fantasy Tour as well as a negative factor.
Right.
Anonymity affords people to not be confined by being concerned about who might, you know, recognize them in their other lifestyle, their work career or family life, etc.
Right.
And I think a lot of people like that aspect of it. Unfortunately, the anonymity allows others to exploit that and behave in a way that they feel they have no consequences.
Exactly. And there are consequences, aren't there?
There are.
There are. I imagine you probably could tell us some. We'll get into that a little bit, but you were just prior to that, you were painting a picture, in at least in my head, of an average user.
Sure.
Could you kind of give me like a stat, anything like numbers, like how much time someone spends per day or per session and how many people visit the site, that kind of thing?
Sure. During a typical Phish tour, we'll see upwards of 200,000 monthly unique visitors to the site.
Wow.
There are, for reference purposes, there are 170,000 registered users on Fantasy Tour.
Okay.
Now that's grown over 17 years.
Right.
And so there's certainly plenty in that number that are not active today.
Some of those are defunct or whatever.
Right. Either they lost access to it and created a new one, or they've just left Fantasy Tour.
Right.
We'll see over 3 million page views a week during our busiest times.
Wow.
Our average visit duration is around the 15-minute mark.
Which is considered pretty sticky, right?
Pretty sticky, yep. And our average page views per visit lands generally around the 11 to 12 pages per visit.
Those are nice numbers.
They are.
For someone who might want to peddle their product.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good for you and for them. Are you online frequently? Do you participate?
I don't participate in the message boards much anymore. I was definitely very, very active when they first came online.
As peak
as Glace. P. Glace.
But do you have a secret handle like I do?
No, I don't.
Really?
No, I don't. No.
You don't.
We're in the business right now of trying to really hustling to try to improve the site. And that's multifaceted. Spending too much time in the message boards can tend to be a distraction from the goals at hand.
It can be a death spiral for some people.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, there's certainly plenty of people that that joke around about their productivity levels when they're on fantasy tour.
Oh my god!
I certainly feel the same way. So, I have to steer clear of it to make sure that we're doing our best to advance the site.
I feel like I participated in the 9/11 thread. So you're saying that was roughly when the board opened up, and then suddenly 9/11 happened.
Yeah, it had been in existence for about 6 months, and it still rocks me when I go back and read that thread.
It was amazing.
Better account for me of what I went through that morning, and the confusion and the misinformation. It's all there. Emotions, raw emotions of people that admitted right there on that thread that they knew people that should have been in that one of those towers.
In the towers, I know.
Contact them.
Right. And when the second plane hit, the immediate kind of inference that we're under attack, as opposed to, oops, a plane accidentally said, yeah, that was so emotional. I remember it completely.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I wasn't on it right at the time, but I've read it many times since and participated, I guess, later. I have another user number of right around 19,000, and I went back and looked. That guy joined in 2002.
Okay.
Gotcha. So I was an early person. If you joined now, you're saying you'd have
somewhere in the 170.
So you have lots of other bands actually, mm-hmm, in Fantasy Tour.
Mm-hmm.
When considering other bands, what's your criteria?
Well, it's changed. The philosophy has changed. When I added Widespread Panic and String Cheese Incident and Mo and the Disco Biscuits in 2001, it was one at a time, because it was a bit of an effort. It wasn't add a band interface on the site. It was actually a really crude, rudimentary copy and paste operation, to basically duplicate Fantasy Tour.
I see.
So
you were just duplicating the functionality of Fish and just erasing the name Fish and putting Mo.
Pretty much.
Okay.
From a programmer standpoint, it was the worst possible way to do it. But it was the quick and dirty way for me to do it at the time. And not being mostly a self-taught programmer that was doing this as a hobby on the side, I was doing the best I could.
So you did a lot of this. This was you.
This was me.
Oh,
absolutely. 1999 to 2009.
Oh,
I was the only one that ever had a hands on the code of Fantasy Tour.
Wow.
And like I said, mostly self-taught, and just sort of flying blind, if you will.
Right.
So
those bands sound like you're like the Paul Glace favorite at the time, right?
There was an element of that for sure. There was also just an element of people coming forward and saying, I love what you're doing for Fish.
Oh.
I'm a huge Widespread fan.
Could
we do this? And, Fantasy Tour has always relied on the user community's involvement to help keep the data fresh. So identifying the right people to be the caretakers of those sections of the site was an important factor.
Is that a thing still? Is there someone?
It is still a thing.
Oh.
We have a role. We have two roles for each community. We have a curator role. The curators are responsible for keeping the shows and set lists up to date, and therefore they play an integral role in the game, because the game can't be scored and tallied until the set list is posted.
Right.
And we have moderators on the message boards. So we've always had that element. I've always said that, Fantasy Tour is, a website built by a fan, for the fans, and very reliant on the fans to help keep it going. And, you know, without the members of the site contributing, it would not exist.
Right.
So very grateful for everybody that's involved. And there's a growing number of them because, to get to your question, there's a growing number of bands on Fantasy Tour.
I see.
And the catalyst to that is that we recognize that a very thriving online community developed around Phish. And a lot of that had to do with timing of when it came online. And I like to think that a lot of it had to do with the features that we had available at the time, you know, that were sort of innovative and ahead of their time. We want to build more communities around up-and-coming bands and hopefully catch that wave.
What's the newest band, like you'd say, that maybe the youngest band that's on there, or the most recent you added?
Lately, they've been coming in groups, but we've added Pigeons Playing Ping Pong, and we've added Twiddle.
Wow. Bands more popular?
A little bit. About 6 months ago, we added My Morning Jacket.
Yeah, I saw that.
We've added we had a Ween section dating back to before they broke up. So that's been there for some time. But branching out outside just the, you know, strict jam band genre, in the hopes that the features that allow people to sort of collect their live music experiences and build a resume of their live music life will be further cultivated by their ability to put in more than just the original 12 bands that we introduced over the first couple of years.
Right. What's the total number of bands right now? Forgive me for not knowing.
Well, forgive me for not knowing. It's it's gotten to be lengthy. I would say we're up to roughly 300.
Really? Oh my God. So now let me
clarify.
Sure.
That not, when we introduce a new band on Fantasy Tour, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're getting a full-fledged Fantasy Tour community.
Oh, okay.
What we want to do initially is allow for their tour dates to be collected,
okay,
displayed, for our members to be able to indicate that they're seeing that band or they like that band.
Is this betraying sort of a future direction for you?
I think so. Okay. What we really want to do, I mean, ultimately what we really want to do is not be the controllers of who gets added to Fantasy Tour. We'd really like to open it up to the community to bring these bands onto Fantasy Tour and cultivate them into these communities based on their popularity.
Okay.
So that it can happen organically.
Okay.
And so
is the ability to have a different set list night by night, is that required? In other words, if you wouldn't put, I don't know, a Coldplay who might do the exact same set every night on here.
I will say that we probably won't ever turn on the set list prediction games for that community.
Right.
But yes, presumably at some point you'd be able to see when Coldplay is playing.
Oh, okay.
Indicate you're going to a show.
Okay. Gives us a little glimpse into the future of Fantasy Tour.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very cool. We kind of touched a little bit on staffing. I imagine you have website people, and I imagine you have programmers. Tell me, you know, stop me if I'm wrong. You kind of giggle. And I imagine you have moderators and, as you said, curators.
Right.
Now, are these employees? How does that work?
Moderators and curators are all volunteer positions, users of the site who appreciate, you know, being able to track their shows and see set lists. They normally are people that come and say, hey, you know, love to see Sound Tribe Sector 9 on Fantasy Tour. I'll respond with love to add them, but need somebody to cultivate that data. And normally the person that came and asked about it is willing to do that.
I see.
So we have dozens of volunteers that help keep that information up to date. As far as actual employees working at Fantasy Tour, there are two of us, myself and my brother. We made the jump from other careers to running Fantasy Tour full time a couple years ago.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you.
What kind of careers were you guys in?
I had been doing management consulting for about 14 years.
Okay.
And my brother Matthew had been doing IT consulting for about 10 years.
Okay, perfect, right?
Yeah.
Got the business guy and the
exactly,
and the coding
exactly.
Guy.
So, you know, I mentioned earlier that I had I was the only one who had my hands on the code in the early days. I now have I'm not allowed to touch the code.
Okay. That's actually probably smart in a way.
Exactly.
Compartmentalize these things.
Exactly.
So I remember a survey, maybe it wasn't a survey, but I remember kind of a community participation at an upgrade that happened maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, so that was your brother? Who was the?
That was the rewrite that came along with this this new endeavor to work on this together. He and a couple others rewrote it from scratch, and then it was around the time of the launch of that version, which we call version 3.
Okay.
That he came over full time.
I see. And one of the requirements was to kind of make it look like the old Fantasy Tour, right? You keep that green and yellow kind of pattern.
It was
no pictures, no
correct.
No photos, none of that stuff.
Correct. That had been my desire for a long time. I can tell you that we're rethinking that philosophy.
Avatars.
Not so much avatars and flashing GIFs, but I think, you know, we're definitely working very hard right now to improve the user experience on multiple device types.
Okay.
We catch up with modern design.
So user experience, since you kind of opened that door, that would cover what you were talking about, sort of the hands-off free speech versus total moderation. Now, am I wrong in thinking that there were more mods before, or they were more active? 'Cause it seems like I almost want to say there's been a rise of trolls and a fall of mods. Is that possible?
My assessment on that is that over the course of 17, well, I guess if you're only talking about the message boards, 15 years, there has been a lot of different philosophies tried on how to handle content that in some way, shape, or form offends or even hurts another user. So there have definitely been times when things were moderated more aggressively, and there have been times when we may have pulled back on that. I think what has been an overriding philosophy of mine is that I don't want to try to be the person who decides what offends you. So when we consider tools and functionality, we've always tried to put the ability for you, the user, to control your experience in your hands, and only try to get involved in terms of removing things when it rises to the level of being really damaging.
Right. Okay, well, let's contrast then a little bit. Like, for example, Twitter. I started my Twitter account, and immediately I kind of was attacked by some people. And when you do a block on them, it's a complete block. They can't participate. They can't use your name and can't participate in your tweets or anything. On Fantasy Tour, it's almost like you're punishing yourself in a way when you block someone, because all that means is that you don't see that person, but everyone else still does. So in a way, it's like it's taking info from you. What if you had a more rigorous, it seems like people, if you do moderate them out of the community, that they can come back in easily under a different name. Is that something that you're addressing too?
Well, you know, it's a challenge. We've talked about that very fact being the reason that this idea that we hear a lot from people is, why aren't you banning them?
Yes.
Is not a valid option.
You can't.
We can't. With the ability for people to have endless numbers of email addresses and
right.
even disposable ones that they can use quickly to create a new account, and basically being able to mask an IP address, it's impossible. So I'd be curious to know, not being a avid Twitter user myself, what's to prevent the person that you've silenced from creating a new account and coming at you again?
Well, possibly the fact that, I guess, it's really tied to you by your phone number and your email.
Mm-hmm.
That one account is kind of your account, and maybe you treat it a little more with respect, or treat others with respect, because if that's banned, you have to come up with a phone number and an email.
Trust me, we've had numerous, countless conversations about this, trying to come up with the right solution. One that resonates with me the most is to make keeping your account in good standing a more valuable proposition. So, in other words, having to start from scratch would have some penalty associated with it. And we've certainly talked hypothetically about how to accomplish that. Nothing is in the works right now. But
I guess you could, just what that sounds like to me, is, you know, someone getting upvotes and stuff like that.
Right.
They're a healthy member of the community, theoretically. Someone getting exclusively downvotes, they're probably just there to bother people and create a negative.
Correct.
Yeah. So is that kind of where you're
absolutely
where you're
sort of reputation builder,
okay,
where we take multiple things into account, where having content removed would be a
big downvote, right?
And but also, as you say, collecting information from other members who say, you know, I like this content or I don't like this content.
Right.
This could be a factor as well. It's a complicated,
it is complicated
model that has to
that.
Be built. And so it's been, like I said, it's been discussed. But
I can see you have to walk the line between being, you know, Nanny Nation and, you know, free speech.
Right, right.
You must walk that kind of daily. Do you get contacted legally and all this stuff when things, bad things happen?
There have been a couple incidents that have arisen to threats, but nothing that's amounted to anything serious.
I see people threatening each other now and then. I imagine nothing really comes of that, or you don't have to get involved, really?
Well, not that I don't have to get involved, but I know a lot of times there's an expectation that in some way, shape, or form that I or we, Fantasy Tour, can in some way, shape, or form bring relief for people in that regard. And unfortunately, you know, we can't.
But you've definitely removed offending posts.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh,
okay.
Let me make it clear. If something is on Fantasy Tour that is of concern to you, it will be removed if you flag it. or if you want to escalate it beyond that, contact the support link at the, use the support link at the bottom of the site and bring additional attention to it. We accommodate nearly all those requests based upon what we, you know, evaluate when we see it. And, you know, we try to err on the side of understanding that if someone is concerned about something, particularly if it's very personal, that should be taken down.
Right. And then in the future, it sounds like they'll get maybe a strike.
It conceivably, if we pursue this reputation model approach, yes, that would be a strike on that account.
That's great.
If I could.
Sure. Yes.
One other thought regarding message boards and you're providing your insights and ideas. We're always open to ideas. And so, I encourage anybody who thinks they have a viable solution to anything that they perceive to be a problem on the message boards to contact us via the support link at the bottom of the page.
Absolutely. I'm sure people will now. You're going to wish you hadn't said that. That's great. So, I'd like, you know, that was sort of a little bit focus on negative. I'd like to also focus on the positive. I think you guys have the best tour date rumors. And do you know any of those guys? Like attorney, whatever his name is?
I do not. I do not. Okay. But yeah, I've come to rely on that as well. I keep my eyes posted for...
I wonder if Fish Inc. is looking and wondering how he gets that. You know, how he gets
I would
that.
Imagine. I would imagine.
And then Dwayne Bass, of course, deserves a lot of thanks for doing incredible set lists during shows and stuff.
He does. He curates that really well.
Do you know him?
I do. I've met him. Okay. He's actually also from, well, he's not from Maryland, but he lives in Maryland.
And he gets a sticky, as he should.
Yeah, sometimes. And I saw one of the questions I think you got when you... solicited
yeah.
from the user
base. Oh, so you saw that fit.
Someone was questioning why they don't always get stickied, and that's something we gotta make sure happens for him.
Moderator was out, you know,
probably getting, at the show,
getting groceries or at the show. Okay. you know, local recommendations when traveling is amazing.
Absolutely.
You guys do a great job on that. It's almost like I feel like every now and then I'd want, and I don't know if you guys are just doing things as a linear message board, if this even makes sense, but almost a spot where I could go back and like click on New Orleans and say, you know, all the cool threads from there. But I guess that's your search in a way.
It is. But, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the other things that we'd like to bring to bear is the ability for threads to be tagged. Mm. So that if a thread on the Fish board is also about New Orleans, that it can be tagged as such, and that someone who's interested in just what content was relevant to New Orleans, irrespective of which band section it was posted to, there's a place to go to find New Orleans threads. We think that this could be exceptionally valuable to people who want to, again, customize their reading experience. I think it has a unique power in that you can use it to find content about a particular topic, but you could also use it to... eliminate content by a particular topic. So if you wanted to say, I want to read the Fish board, but don't show me any political threads.
No sports.
No sports.
That's what I do. I ignore all the sports threads.
There you go. Then you can do that. With these tags, we're hoping to accomplish that.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, it's a way to do something we've wanted to do for a really long time. We would like to be able to separate out really meaningful conversations that are happening on the Fish board about things other than fish. The thread still exists on the Fish board because
right.
that's where it was started.
Right.
But you can filter and you can search based upon these tags. And it would give you, as you say, the ability to look back to not just to the very recent discussions. It could go back as far as you're interested in paging back.
That sounds actually fantastic and very useful. Here we go. Ready for this one? Favorite
okay.
favorite users.
Hmm.
You have to own up to liking some of these people. Do you like anyone on Fantasy Tour?
I do. I do indeed. I can't say that I'm to the at the level of knowing people people's specific usernames that I always, you know, sort of seek out.
If someone asks me, I always say Horsehole, and I don't know if you remember him or her. I don't even know. Okay. Just some wacky, wacky stories, family members, some kind of horrendous, wonderful stories. Similarly, the guy named 62294 actually became a good friend of mine.
Okay.
And he posted a bunch of stories called I Suck at Work and I Suck at, I don't know, dating. I'm just making it up but he had a bunch of I Suck at, and gradually I realized, like, I really have to get to know this guy. And he's an amazing guy.
There's so many clever threads on Fantasy Tour. And yeah. I think because everybody kind of wants to hit on that. That jackpot thread that, you know, just really takes off. You've got a lot of failed attempts out there too.
Yeah.
But, you know, one that comes to mind, Gagglebum Alley.
I think I missed that one.
This was a member of the site that whose office overlooked an alley in Denver, and he was just providing everyone on Fantasy Tour an update on the activity in this alley, and it was not always the most...
Was it kind of like a crime-ridden alley?
Crime-ridden, I don't think so much as just a gathering place for the homeless. And
I like conspiracy theory threads. Mm. Anything with chemtrails, I like to try to go and see if someone debunks it. I might just lurk and not necessarily participate. I've been reading occult and Illuminati type stuff on Fantasy Tour lately. Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. I might want to interview some of those people. Because some of them go so deep and are so well read, and
sure. And as a matter of fact, I want to suggest that, you know, to the extent that you want to talk about some of the more specific threads on Fantasy Tour, I think it would be a great idea for you to try to interview some of the specific personalities.
I do. I will. I will. And Horsehole is on the list. Seagull, maybe. There's a guy, Little Wooden Boy, who I don't know if these guys want to interview because they're kind of they had one gag, but. Little Wooden Boy was a Steely Dan, and I would always get sort of offended when he would say Steely Dan fans, and then he would fill in like some insult, like wear black sneakers or something, you know, and then the thread would have nothing to do with that. But all Steely Dan, you know, fans like me would go in and you know, indignantly, and until we realized we were being trolled by him. But the guy that did the talking monkey things, do you remember him? Powerful Pills?
No.
He had this character, Monkey Stagio, and he would do videos. And so his thread would send you to YouTube. But it was, I guess, theoretically, it was maybe Trey talking about the upcoming tour. And it was hilarious. It had glasses, like Trey's glasses on a monkey. And then, because I like science, that I have to call out Trey is Wilson. He's the guy that tries to predict earthquakes.
Yes.
And he hasn't gotten one right yet. And yet, he's very tinfoil hat kind of guy. And then the last thread, maybe, do you remember that the Situation Room?
I've seen the picture.
That is so well done.
It is well done. I must agree.
That's just a classic piece of art that's you've created, basically created from your site. You should be proud of
that.
Well,
I didn't create it, but my very clever members of my site did for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then one that like resonated with me, and I got the wrong one. I Googled right before you showed up here and found one, but it's not the one that I remember. There was an incredibly clever thread where people were writing songs as if they were me and Trey, I think, or possibly just Trey. But they focused on a long time ago. I realized that I have a sort of a water obsession.
Okay.
So a lot of these would have water, you know, dripping through the lyrics. There's one that I found by the user Cantaloupe. And it's called Currents Change. And I think it was influenced by Trey's song, Tide Turns. But I'm going to read it just because it's so funny. The wind is dancing through the cattails on the banks of the shore. Small-shelled snails and whippoorwills spread across the low tide floor. But the currents change. Like thinly veiled secrets, whales washed up on the beaches. Feel the salty breezes in your eyes. Currents change. And it's a hilarious parody. It's just so funny, and I could see my, you know, myself almost like telling Trey, like, we should really make a song with these lyrics. Right, we really right. should. All right. How about give me some people that fell on the wrong side of the law on Fantasy Tour?
I really would rather not give them any press, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've had some real troublemakers, but, you know.
No press for them?
No.
Okay. No. There was some people that I gave trouble to, and I'd almost like to apologize to them. Mm. Semper Fi, he's I'm well known for going after a guy who was selling fish tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of the classic, if people say, what are your favorite threads on Fantasy Tour? That one comes up, and I always feel guilty because he was just I don't think he was trying to make a profit. He probably just wanted postage. But the way he said it and then how indignant and defensive he got and the way he attacked me just made me keep going back at him. And it was, I feel bad. When I read it again, it's not as funny as I remember. He was just a nice guy, you know, trying to spread the music. And people say that there's another guy, She's My Sister. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that one?
I had to. So many people were talking about it when you inquired about this.
Did you go look him up?
I did. I heard, got a little bit of an update on what happened. It sounds very bizarre.
I just remember sort of a sad person who was always lamenting the fact that he didn't fit into the scene. And one time I got on and invited him to come with me to a fish show. And this is at least how I remember it. And I think he didn't realize that it was actually me
right.
until the very end. And then it was too late or something. I forget exactly what happened there, but poor guy was kind of picked on a little bit. And so there's sure. another one I don't feel so good about. There's a couple others out there. The guy Willis came after me for whatever reason.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was mad at me for, I think it was when I started my Twitter account. He just said something about he doesn't want to see that ogre. So I wanted to actively attack him, but it turned out he did it to himself or someone. I don't know, but he got attacked. If you get attacked, you get on the wrong side of PT, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
There's no way to win.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep moving. I've kept you for a long time, but, did you like the quotes, the PT quotes on the fish bill this year?
I loved it. I wonder if you have any insight on how they ended up there.
No, I was going to ask you that. You didn't get contacted.
I had nothing to do with it. I was as surprised as everybody else. Okay. But it was well done.
That was really well done. And then are there like PT interactions that directly influenced or affected the band that you can think of?
Well, I mean, there's the most famous one, I think, of Trey disclosing on stage at the Warfield in 2003 that you had encouraged him to go on a Fantasy Tour to find out what people were saying, and he was less than
yeah, he said there's about, like, two assholes or something on Fantasy Tour, right?
I think he said they're all assholes. but you know, it's so funny. I actually have listened to it again recently, and he gave his very candid thought about the experience, but then of course came back and was like, well, you know, some of them had some good points.
So it was specifically about the song Spices.
Someone it was. That's right. Yeah, and then he played it.
I think later the next day or whatever, I went and kind of looked at the repercussion, the backlash, and unfortunately the blame fell on this one guy who actually knew pretty well, named Mixon. He took the blame for being the guy.
Oh, yeah, I remember Mixon. See, that's the thing. I have to tell you that when you start talking about personalities,
yes.
If we're talking the 2001 to 2005 time frame, I will know more of those names.
Oh, okay.
Besides being a labor of love for me to run Fantasy Tour and make this happen, I can attribute countless friendships for personally to it, and know a lot of people that met their spouses there, that forged friendships that have lasted well beyond the specific people actually being daily users of Fantasy Tour. countless weddings, including attending the wedding of one of our users that lived in Mexico City. My wife and I traveled down to attend the wedding of Unibonger.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was amazing, and you know, a lot of those types of relationships have been born out of fantasy tour for me and countless others. I think that, you know, there's a lot of negative feedback on the website. There's a tremendous amount of positive feedback coming directly, either in the form of the support feature on the site or in person.
That's great. Well, just, I mean, I know just from starting, you know, like a podcast, anytime you put yourself out there, you're going to get negative, and the negative voices seem louder somehow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think that was a great way actually to end this interview, bringing up the people that you've met. And yes, I count myself 100% in that group of people who have lifelong friends from Fantasy Tour. And I also want to say the direction that it sounds like you're going, the future sounds bright for Fantasy Tour.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, Paul, it was a real, real pleasure meeting you, and thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Paul convinced me to try to play the Fantasy Fish games for the first time this New Year's run. I'd like you to play along with me if you could. Register your song picks by December 28th. We'll also have the link up on underthescales.com, but here it is. fantasytour.com/bands/fish/games. Good luck. I know I'll need it. Would it be cheating to ask Trey for some help? Thanks for listening to Under the Scales, the podcast about fish fans, their culture, and secrets, if we're lucky. Quick thank you to my producer, Mark Dowd, and my sister podcast, HF Pod. Some of the music you hear in my show is, of course, Fish, but also it's often my old band, Amphibian, with an F. Using songs Anthony Crizon and I wrote for our album, Skip the Goodbyes. Find him at njrecordingstudio.com. I'll interview you if you want as well. Go to underthescales.com and click the Tell Your Story button. If you're at all serious, your submission will definitely get to me. For other matters, write to me at tom@underthescales.com and follow our Twitter here at underthescales. See you next week.